decided to teach a whole lesson all by myself. And I'm going to teach something relevant, something modern, the internet. The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Gross.
The internet is for porn.
I hate porn.
Grab your dick and double click for porn. Porn, porn.
I hate men.
Porn.
I'm leaving.
Porn.
I hate the internet.
Internet is for internet is for internet is for porn! Yeah.
Hi, and welcome to Hater and Gamer. I'm Robert Williams, the hater.
I'm Charles Bigham, the gamer.
And I'm Dustin Velasquez, the master of mustachioed magnificence.
Today we're going to discuss current events, WrestleMania, and movies and such. So let's kick this off with some current events. And now, time for current events, current events, current events. Amy Winehouse is dead, current events.
Yeah.
And this is the portion of the show where we go to our lovely producer, Jenny.
Hi!
And she is going to give us some current happenings in the quote-unquote real world, the non-Matrix version. And here we go. We're going to talk about it. Let's go.
Okay, so this week, Tom Cruise tried to date another woman, and it turns out he can't hold a fucking wife.
He can't hold a fucking wife.
He can't hold a wife? Like, he doesn't have the arm strength to hold a wife?
He is quite a small man.
Yeah, he is. Sorry. Next topic.
Next topic, let's go.
Virginia residents were scared this week because a dog looked like a lion, and they thought it was going to eat their face off.
A dog looked like the lion? What?
Virginia residents were scared this week because a dog looked like a lion and Michael Vick was standing behind it.
Ha! I was going to say, how much moonshine had they had?
That was dumb. I'm just saying.
No, no, that's saying, a legitimate statement. I'm not trying to be funny.
It was...
Stop trying to be funny.
Okay, so next topic. That's all she has.
Next week, our new producer.
All right. End segment.
So Sunday was WWE's biggest event of the year, WrestleMania. And the three of us had the quote-unquote pleasure of watching it. What did you guys think?
As far as waste of time.
I wouldn't go waste of time. We got some good comedy bits out of it.
Yeah, it's true.
For this show, I was, in fact, a rock publican.
Yeah, so we all pretty much were very disappointed with the ending.
And that has nothing to do with the fact that Cena won.
No, it's just, we expected more.
Wait, spoilers.
Yeah, Cena won.
If you're listening to a podcast that has wrestling in it, it's going to have fucking spoilers, okay?
They may not watch Raw yet.
Deal with it. All right. Well, I don't know about you guys, but for me, the best match of the night was CM Punk versus Undertaker. I sat in there with you guys and a whole bunch of other people that don't watch wrestling, and that got everyone to its feet and cheering and into it. Just proof and pudding for me that CM Punk is fucking amazing!
I wish you'd stop talking about pudding all the time.
I love pudding.
Yeah, that was obviously the best match, as in all the other matches were atrociously horrible. That was the very best match. It was a little bit more than watchable. A little bit more.
Well, yeah, I guess if you base it on the whole night, they could have gone out there and done shadow puppets for most of the match and would have been more interesting than what we saw.
Well, I was thoroughly impressed by the match considering how much I despise CM Punk and how much of a good show he actually did put on. Especially when he did Old School against The Undertaker. That was I would dare say once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Not like a Rock Cena once-in-a-lifetime, like an actual once-in-a-lifetime.
Because I have never, ever seen that.
Ooh, with the Jericho. I like it.
Yeah, and you're never going to see it again, all right?
Yeah, no, that was definitely it. I really still hope that they turn it into a meme of Undertaker sitting up and staring at CM Punk.
A look of absolute terror on CM Punk's face.
Of course, Undertaker won. Of course.
21-0,
that's right.
That's right.
20-0 sounds better.
Which
Shut your face.
Which Justin is working on his record of 0-8 when calling matches on a WrestleMania.
He was...
I got one match right. I got one match right. I got the Shield match.
You got the Shield...
I called the Cena. I called Cena, too.
That's
so
true.
D's nuts.
He called two matches, but he was making a big deal. He was like, wrestling. I love wrestling, but it's so predictable, I can pretty much call it all from beginning to end. So from beginning to end, we let him call it. Mm-hmm. And from beginning to end, he called it fucking wrong. He even called Randy Orton's heel turn wrong.
I assume it's the start of one.
Wrong. The start of one. What the heck?
In my defense, this is actually true. This is how I feel.
He's rubbing his nipples at the moment.
I know. I thought that they were going to take a little more risk in their WrestleMania instead of playing it as vanilla as it fucking ended up being.
WWE for the last 6 years?
That's what I fucking hoped that they were going to do.
They took a huge fucking risk, but its name was Fandango.
Would you have to say would be your biggest surprise of WrestleMania?
The amount of out of nowhere finishings. Like, just the roll-up. It's walking, finisher, it's over.
Yeah, no, it was... This was the night of roll-ups. It really was. Every other match ended in a roll-up. Out of fucking nowhere. That was kind of surprising.
Would it be wrong to say that Fandango ended in a fruit roll-up?
Wow. How long have you been holding that one?
Since yesterday. Thank you with the youth of
that. For me, my biggest surprise, I would actually have to say that they didn't allow the heel turn for Cena. He wasn't going to walk out a good guy, and even having Rock raise his arm at the end like, ooh, good fucking job, he was still getting booed out of the building at that moment.
He's gotten two chances at The Rock, and he couldn't perform a halfway decent match either time.
No.
It's the last time he's ever going to be in the ring with The Rock because of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they didn't do the heel turn. He needed to get his little douchey nipple rubbing. I say nipple rubbing a lot. He needed to get his douchey nipple rubbing out of the way with The Rock.
No, but I just...
When it's a good match, we're like, oh my god, they showed so much love and respect and he's passing the torch and it's
you know
all
what?
Amazing.
You're right. If that match had lived up to maybe Rock Austin 3, like where that was a really good match and Austin was leaving and they like hugged it out. Oh my god, I fucking love you, bro. That was okay because at least the match meant something. That match was horrible, but that's my biggest surprise.
My biggest surprise of the night would have to be Ryback losing to Mark Henry via Fat Crush. Ryback, for those of you that are smart and didn't purchase WrestleMania, Ryback gets Mark Henry up. And now it was a debate. We were wondering how many times it was going to take Ryback to get that behemoth up on his shoulders. He did it in one move and then couldn't hold him up. He fell on his on the back of his head, crushing his skull between the strongest man in the world and the stiffest ring in the world. I know my shit.
Basically, it was Mark Henry wins via slip.
That was my biggest surprise, that they allowed that to happen.
So that brings us to a good point. What was your... Wait. What moment of the night? What the fuck happened there kind of thing? What was yours, Mr. Charles?
Out of everything that happened last night, I would have to say the biggest... Wait, what would have to be the match that was not even included in the pay-per-view?
The one they promoted, like, fuck before coming on air?
Which, from the few seconds of match that we saw, was a pretty fucking good match,
too. Oh, no, that wasn't it. The one he's talking about, I think, is Sweet Tea.
No, I'm not talking about Sweet Tea. Oh. I'm talking about...
Although, nobody called my mama. Okay, and I'm upset by that.
No, but the Intercontinental title match, where The Miz is now the new Intercontinental Champion.
You know what? And that just goes into, like, the why wasn't the U.S. title? The guys held the belt for almost a year, and they won't defend the belt. It's stupid. It was dumb. Wade Barrett and Miz deserved a little bit more. Miz has gone from being the headliner of WrestleMania to not even the curtain jerk of WrestleMania. So
the wait, what moment was, wait, I'm watching WrestleMania? What? I haven't watched wrestling in years because the WWE has just been bad forever. They acquired WCW. They acquired ECW. They have...
Which during those times where there was some great shit that came out.
Yeah, the Invasion era was even okay.
Watchable. Very watchable.
It was very watchable. But it's just been atrocious television. It's just been the worst parts about wrestling. And TNA used to be great, but I think Vince McMahon engineered Hulk Hogan actually getting hired with TNA to destroy it from within, because TNA doesn't pose an asshole's... I don't have anything particularly clever to say right now, but it doesn't stand a chance against WWE. Neither does Ring of Honor. Neither does PGW or any of the other fucking independent programs out there that have amazing wrestling. Yeah, I was surprised I was actually even watching the show.
My wait, what moment for myself is, wait, I thought Brock Lesnar and Triple H would actually beat the shit out of each other instead of hug each other for 30 minutes. That match, I expected, like, arms to be broken, them to be bleeding, like, fight!
Triple H tried. He tried three times.
That's
to
fine.
Break that guy's arm.
But you know what? I still expected more violence, especially since the Cena-Brock Lesnar match they had at Extreme Rules was so fucking violent.
But that's the thing. Extreme Rules. You can't expect more violence out of this cookie-cutter PG-13 crap that WWE is trying to shove down our throats. Look, if you don't want your kids to be pretending to wrestle, don't let them watch fucking wrestling. If you don't mind, then let's at least have the adults who have grown up with this shit, and grown up with the Attitude Era, even grown up with the Invasion Era, get something that's actually watchable. TNA, you screwed up that six-sided ring, your X Division, your women's wrestlers that could actually wrestle.
Awesome.
That was all cool. Amazing. That was all amazing. You allowed Double J and you allowed Hulk Hogan to screw up your shit. You could have done something.
Which, to be fair, if you couldn't call Double J fucking something up, that's your own bad.
I watched TNA for 2-3 episodes before I found out Double J founded it, and I almost quit right there. I went, whoa.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. But, all right, so I think I know where this is going, but we'll start with you, Charles. What is your grade for WrestleMania and why?
I would have to give them a D minus, not a full F, D minus. They made a semi-believer out of me of CM Punk. And that is a tall order. From what little I've been getting back into wrestling, to see something like CM Punk putting on the best match of the whole fucking show. If this was any other pay-per-view event besides WrestleMania, they probably would have got like a C minus. But this is fucking
biggest sign of the year.
Mania.
This is their Super Bowl, and this is the equivalent of the Buccaneers versus the Raiders.
I'm giving it a D because I want the stupid kid to graduate and get the fuck out of my class, so I'm not going to give him an F because then he might get held back a year. So I'm giving WrestleMania a D so it gets the fuck on and out of my class.
I'm giving it a D plus. And the reason behind that is
Brown Noser!
I wish that they took more risks. I wanted more risk to be involved with the choices that they made. They didn't do that. That's why they get the D. But I still had a good time making fun of it. And that is not an F. An F to me would be where I had nothing fucking to say except
where it's just silence.
Basically the Rock Cena match. If my whole night was the Rock Cena match, where everyone just kind of shut up and watched and
the
went...
The fucking audience shut up!
It just went...
I saw
really,
people in the front row just having a conversation, not even watching the match.
That's why it gets a D+, because at least I could talk shit about it. And if I could talk shit about it, at least I had fun doing it.
It's just
so,
like Chuck Lesnar in the...
Oh, Chuck Lesnar. Ryback. I fucking love him.
So, basically, the overall letter grade for WrestleMania was a solid D. We got one D minus, one D plus, one D. That averages out to a solid D. Shame on you, whoever's responsible.
Yep.
And can I have a job?
Me too.
About the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I saw more abuse by TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again?
So earlier today, the hater and I went by our local Redbox and rented Bioshock Infinite. Unfortunately, we have not had a chance to actually play the game, but I've heard nothing but the utmost just awesome news about this game. Its current Metacritic score is a 96 out of 100, which is insane for anyone who actually knows what Metacritic is.
Why don't you explain what a Metacritic is, real quick?
Okay, well, you have all of your gaming websites, your gaming magazines, all these people who are in the business as journalists, and they put out their review scores on video games, movies, you know, media in general. Metacritic is a website where they tally up the average score of everyone who has put out these scores and puts out the Metacritic score, which is how, unfortunately, certain businesses actually determine if the people who made the game get a bonus after making their game based upon what their Metacritic score is.
So the Metacritic score is all the critics all put together and averaged out.
Yes, and it got a 96 out of 100.
Wow, that's crazy.
What was the last game to get anything that high?
I've never seen anything that high.
What about Skyrim, Red Dead Redemption, Grand Theft Auto 4?
Batman Arkham Asylum.
Let's find out what their scores are right now.
Because this is on radio and nobody can see what he's doing, he has an iPad in his hand. It's an iPad 4. It's got an aesthetic light blue cover. And it shuts off with some kind of magnet chip.
And I have a puppy. His name is Sammy.
Very low tech.
Very low tech. But you know what? He still seems to find all the stuff I need. Like my heart.
That was interesting. So have you found it yet, O guru of tech?
Yeah, so Skyrim got a 94.
Skyrim got a 94.
Got it.
Okay.
Game of the year 2 years ago got a 94. Let's check the game of the year last year, which was the Walking Dead video game. See how that actually got.
Walking Dead video game. I mean, I don't know what to think about it. I never finished it. I started to play it. I had a good time. I haven't had the will to go back. It's been sitting in my living room for a while now. I just haven't had the desire to go back and finish it. I want more action, I guess. I just like the more action.
Well, I actually finished the game. I played all 5 episodes of it, and it ended up being my game of the year. It was an amazing game. Very emotional. It's one of those games that you can't play episode after episode after episode, or you will slit your own wrists.
What did Pong get on Metacritic?
What was Pong's Metacritic score?
Well, back to Walking Dead, it actually got a 93. So for Bioshock Infinite to have a 96, just talking right now, there's a very good chance that it could easily win Game of the Year this year when they have the
VGAs. Better. If the only way it could is if there's something better that comes along. Duh. I mean, that's how Game of the Year works. If 94 was Game of the Year 2 years ago, stands to reason.
Is there any other game this year that you think's going to
give it a run?
Well, so far from what I hear, there's only one other game that's come out this year that's gotten also really good reviews from many people, and that's Tomb Raider, the remake that they did. That's
As I called it, Metal Gear Solid Tomb Raider Edition.
Nice. It's actually, have you ever played any of the Uncharted games?
It's more like Uncharted?
Okay. Yes, Well,
so meaning that there's a lot of cutscenes and you press a button and then you wait for a lot of cutscenes and you press another button and then yes. Maybe you get to play?
Because when Uncharted came out, it was a complete ripoff of Tomb Raider, but in the next-gen system, so they were able to do more with it. And then Tomb Raider came out, the remake, trying to outdo Uncharted.
Okay, so get back to Bioshock for a second. What about BioShock makes it so good? What's being cited? Because I haven't played this. I actually finished BioShock 1. I love video games, but I'm terrible at them. So I actually beat BioShock 1. BioShock 2, I loved. It was better than BioShock 1, but at the same time, they had this disastrous flaw where I would, to get all the atom I needed, spoiler alert, deal with it, to get all the atom I needed to advance my levels, I had to fight the, find all the,
find all the big sisters,
and I used all my ammo to do that, so I would go into the next segment with no ammo, and this happened every single time. The entire game, I'm sitting there with nothing to do, and some people might find that level of challenge great, but not this guy. So I didn't beat BioShock 2. What's BioShock Infinite look like?
Well, BioShock Infinite, completely new area, because both of the first two were underwater. You know, you were in Rapture, so there was a lot of times where you'd have to go in like some scuba situation, or there'd be leaking like walls everywhere. This is actually set in, I believe they call it Columbia in this one, but it's up in the air. You're on these like freaking skyline
like
things.
Avatar?
No, not like Avatar, because it's all buildings and everything. Not, you know, mountains and fucking forests and shit like
Avatar.
That. Yes, like Avatar. but from what I hear, the story is really what's been drawing everyone in, which you don't usually hear that often with a lot of video games these days. Now it's always, oh, the graphics are amazing, or, oh my god, I can stab 50 people in the face by pressing one button.
Dude, that's amazing.
I told you not to quote me.
But this one, the story is really what's been drawing everyone in. But when we play it, from what I hear from everyone, if you've ever played a shooter, you need to play it on hard the first time you play it through. Because normal and easy just seem too easy. Unless,
not for this guy.
Not for this guy.
I'm probably still playing that on easy. I don't care. I believe the story could probably be great. BioShock 1, at the very end, the thing he's been asking you, that you thought was just being polite, was him controlling your mind. I almost blew mine. All right, the oral sex way, not the. Just in case. I shouldn't have said. I said too much already.
Okay.
But no, it was insane. I loved it. So I can see that BioShock Infinite is going to have a great story. But there's another game coming out next month, I believe.
That's not really that highly anticipated by many people.
Oh my god, how does he know what I'm gonna say? It's like we scripted this. Okay, so Star Trek.
That's why Robert is excited, because it's Star Trek.
Star Trek. For those of you that don't know, which would be everybody because this is our first episode, I am very recently obsessed with Star Trek. Thank you, Netflix.
And by recently, we mean that we've heard it for years.
It's 6 months. Okay, for years. But I've only been watching the episode by episode for the last 6 months or so. The video game I'm looking forward to for different reasons, actually. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit?
It's supposed to be a tie-in for the movies. It's supposed to take place...
Oh, no. It's a movie game?
Yes.
It's a movie game.
Oh, God. Yes, which if anyone has ever played Iron Man or Iron Man 2... Or,
or yet, any movie game. Or,
any movie game ever...
No, there's been a couple that have actually
Chronicles
been
of Riddick. That's the only one I can think of. That's
like
the only game that I can think of that at least got some good reviews.
There's one game in particular that we played a lot of. It was just us beating the living shit out of each other. And that was Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
All right, you guys want to
lightsaber duels against your buddy is it breaks up friendships.
That was a fun one. The fighting game that they did.
Enter the Matrix.
Enter the Matrix was an amazing game.
It broke on me constantly.
Well, that's because you're a tool. No, Enter the Matrix was an amazing game, and I love the concept of it advancing the story of the Matrix in whole. It became part of the whole story.
Does Star Trek look like it's going to be Enter the Matrix, or does it look like it's going to be Thor?
It looks like it's going to be Enter the Matrix, because this game, basically they took Mass Effect and skinned Star Trek onto it.
That's awesome.
It just sounds kind of fun.
And unlike the traditional movie tie-in game, where they have maybe 6 months to a year to work on it, this has had about 2.5 years to
to work on this game.
So they actually gave it some love.
Yes. Also, like Enter the Matrix, it doesn't actually follow the storyline of the original Star Trek movie or of Into Darkness.
To be fair...
It follows a storyline between the two.
To be fair, though, if you've ever played any video game movie tie-in, any of those, how many of them have followed the actual storyline?
Well, yeah, they follow the storyline and then say, hey, let's put in all the villains, too.
Yeah. I can think of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2, though, was an amazing game.
Yes. No. Spider-Man, you're confusing amazing game with it's so much fun to swing from buildings and the fucking helicopters.
You're right. It was a horrible game, but fun to swing. But swinging through New York is amazing. Web of Shadows made it even better. Then the next Spider-Man game was horrible.
Yeah, but you're also now not talking about video game tie-ins. Yeah. About actual video games.
Okay.
And you know, it takes a while for every superhero to get a good game.
And two other big factors, well, not one big factor, one okay factor on this new Star Trek game is it's going to be fully voiced by the entire cast. So they're not going to get some random actors to do the voices while it still looks like the
So basically, characters. John DiMaggio is out of work for this time.
And J.J. Abrams is helping with the game.
That's... So lots of lens flare.
Dustin, maybe you want to explain lens flare to our uneducated film audience.
What's lens flare? If you ever watch Star Trek, that's lens flare. No, it's the bubbles you get kind of like a soft shadow around any bits of light. Michael Bay uses it in all of his films. It makes things just kind of blown out. It's wherever you shine a light directly at the camera, you get a lens flare.
Oh, okay. So. I get that. Yeah.
So another reason why we're excited about this game is it's from start to finish co-op, Kirk and Spock.
Ooh. Yeah, one plays Kirk, one plays Spock. I've called dibs on Spock.
Does that mean you have
because
to?
Because Spock Siler is the player. Best.
You can play it one player or cooperative. We are going to be renting it because it is a movie tie-in game, so we're not going to put all of our fucking money into this.
Well, I'll put it this way. They rented Bioshock, the highest-rated game of the last 10 years, and they're not buying it yet. So...
I miss Gamefly, okay? I just want that to be known. I will probably be finding a way to get Gamefly again soon, but I miss Gamefly. It allowed me to play so many games, and I didn't have to buy anything.
Yep.
I worked it out. For those of you that don't have Gamefly, work out in your head, how much do you spend on video games a year? I figured I can't afford very many video games. I buy five titles in a year that I'm looking for.
$500.
Well, no, it worked out to about $300. Now, if I pay for Gamefly, I get one game at a time. It's like $17, which sounds like a lot to someone as cheap as I am. It sounds like a lot. $17 a month, that's about $280. So for about $20 less than I spend normally in a year, I can get as many titles as I can get through. And if I play a game for 3 hours and say, this game sucks, all I have to do is return it, and within 2 days, I got a new title. And if you don't have enough Xbox Live games or PlayStation Network games to keep you busy between 2 or 3 days, you're not really a gamer.
That would be me.
No, you have to have a working system.
Yeah.
That would also not be me.
So, yeah, that sounds great. I look real forward to it.
And expect next week to have a full review of Bioshock Infinite by myself and the hater.
There it is.
So, since this is the first podcast, many of you don't know, I am an uber movie nerd.
Ooh!
I know, shocker of all shocks. And this, very recently, we lost another uber movie nerd, one of the greats, Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
Like his reviews or not, he revolutionized what a movie review is and legitimized it to a level that no one else has or probably will. So, any thoughts on his passing?
I feel a loss, you know? I did a little bit more when Siskel first passed. It's no takeaway from Ebert, but he's been out of the news recently. Siskel passed, they were still at their height.
Yeah.
So, it was a lot more of a shocker, but it's
still
it's
a sad day. Still a sad day. So with that, we plunge forward. I recently saw Olympus Has Fallen.
Thumb and a half up.
With Gerard Butler. I actually really liked it. It was everything I expected it to be. I went in there expecting Die Hard in the White House, and I got Die Hard in the White House.
I'm a big talk radio fan. No. And I know. And so I was listening to talk radio, and they were talking, they came up with the news section, and they're like, oh, yeah, North Korea today has just threatened to fire a missile at South Korea or Hawaii or even the mainland of United States. And then I ignored it, whatever. I felt it, but I'm like, I got to get to work. I'm not going to be able to be affected by this right now. So later on that night, I go see Olympus Has Fallen, and it's the fucking North Koreans, and they're fucking destroying the White House and fucking everybody up with karate and shit. And I remember that from Best of the Best. It was fucking crazy. Okay, so I shit my pants a little bit in the theater. Okay.
Yep. My thing though is I don't understand how this happens every year. So Olympus Has Fallen has just come out. And next month, Channing Tatum gets his shot with White House Down.
White House Down. Way to go, Magic Mike.
I guess really the question will be at the end of the day, who's hotter in Kevlar? Channing Tatum or Gerard Butler? I don't think any of us are here are qualified to answer that.
Because Channing Tatum's going to get the hotter in Kevlar vote. But Gerard Butler's also going to get the closet gay boy nerds that are like, he looks so awesome. And he's going to get that vote, too. So I think Gerard Butler's going to pull ahead.
He's going to pull ahead from 300. Yes. Got it.
But the thing is that they're also trying to go for more authenticity with White House Down with the black president, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, hot damn.
Ooh,
Jamie Foxx is the president.
You know what's sad, though, is I liked Aaron Eckhart because I think he's a really good actor, and I don't think Jamie Foxx is as good of an actor. But you know what?
I don't know. Jamie Foxx is a pretty damn good actor, considering his roots, considering how he came from comedy, from bad comedy. He's a pretty good actor.
Whoa. Are you dissing on Living Color?
No. Let's not go that far. But I am dissing the Jamie Foxx show.
That's fine. That's fine. So, yeah, I guess, what would you give Olympus Has Fallen?
I'm a guy who does a lot of theater, does a lot of film. I should love real good movies, but man, I love a good blockbuster. I give it a solid A.
I'm with you. I give it a solid A. I went in there, like I said, I had very low expectations.
Yeah.
I wanted to see things blow up. I wanted to see Gerard Butler kick the shit out of people.
I was a little disappointed that the great and powerful Oz was at a time I didn't want to go see it, and I had to settle for Olympus Has Fallen. So,
also, anything with Morgan Freeman automatically gets an A. That just automatically gets you an A. And I heard you saw a movie recently, too, Slims.
Yes, I saw The Evil Dead.
So my question to you, having not seen it yet and been on the fence about it, is it like any of the other Evil Dead movies, i.e. good?
It is, in my opinion, a very good horror movie, but it is not exactly a Evil Dead movie in the sense of how campy they all are.
So this is a movie about kids in a cabin in the woods and actually dying, and Bruce Campbell isn't there to actually save the film.
Yes and no.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Spoilers.
Hail to the king, baby.
Spoilers. If you wait till the end of the credits, it's just a side shot of Bruce Campbell, and he says, groovy.
Yeah. That's awesome. That makes me happy. That'll make me actually want to go see it because I I'm a sucker for Bruce Campbell. I sat through all his horrible sci-fi movies. I love Burn Notice.
I thought I had noticed that Bruce Campbell was only famous because he's Bruce Campbell. But everybody's noticed it, and they still keep him famous. He's got fan bases that are like, yeah, he's cool. Why? Because he's Bruce Campbell. Oh, well, what's he done? Oh, Evil Dead. Oh, those shitty movies? Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
Whoa.
Shitty movies. They were shitty.
The other day, I was talking about a particular movie. He thought I was lying and making stuff up, but it was, in fact, Bubba Hotep.
Fucking love Bubba Hotep. Bubba Hotep is phenomenal in all the right ways for all the wrong reasons.
For all those people who don't know what Bubba Hotep is... It is a movie
about Elvis, who is not dead. This is the real Elvis. And he aligns himself with JFK, played by Ossie Davis, who's black. And it's amazing. It just And they have to fight a mummy.
Who sucks souls out of assholes.
Wow. Wow.
It's so awesome. It really is.
Sounds like a movie that should star Divine.
You know what, though? It was only a DVD film, so what are you going
to... Say anyway. Straight to DVD.
Of course.
See, I'm not somebody that can sit there and watch a bad movie. I don't understand watching bad movies on purpose. Here's the thing.
It's not a bad movie, actually. It actually is pretty good. It's silly, it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually done really well. It's not like Plan 9 from Outer Space, like, oh, that's a bad movie. I'll sit and watch a bad movie.
My father told me when I was like 14 or 15, he goes, oh, yeah. You like Monty Python? I said, yeah, I like Monty Python. Then you'll love Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai is awesome.
Nobody cares about your opinion. Yeah. You just know film things.
I appreciate a lot of different stuff. It's okay. It takes a required palate and a more like advanced palate to understand the stuff.
I know. I try to have an advanced palate in movies, but it just doesn't happen.
But see, the thing is with me, when it comes to horrible, horrible movies, I only like watching horrible horror movies. Because when you get a
like good, Gingerbread Man?
Like Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Ginger Man Dead 3, the Third Reich, I think it was called.
What was the crappy movie that you and I watched that was about, I think it was Mutant Zombie Vampires from the Hood?
It was Mutant Vampire. Yeah, it was Mutant Vampire Zombies from the Hood. And
that's the name of it?
I have to watch it now. It was an atrocious movie. I couldn't believe we were watching it. And then, for no reason at all, I said, hey, wait a second. Why don't you pretend that the main character is Dave Chappelle? Played by the same character, just being played by Dave Chappelle. And pretend that the secondary character is being played by Charlie Murphy. Now go with that, and you'll love the movie.
And it was hilarious.
It was hilarious from that point forward.
Okay.
And the worst part about the whole mutant vampire zombies is that they explained, and it made sense, why they're mutant vampire zombies.
Okay, so bad movies aside, talking about a movie that will be J.J. Abrams' swan song to the franchise.
Really? You think so?
They're already looking for a new director.
Wow.
Of course, he's doing Star Wars. He's not going to have time to do Star Trek. Star Trek Into Darkness is coming out next month, starring a bunch of people and the great and powerful Benedict Cumberbatch. If either of you say anything bad about Benedict Cumberbatch, I will have to kill you. We will find a new gator or gamer.
Benedict Cumberbatch, for those of you that don't know, and if you don't know, don't talk to me, is... the masterful Sherlock Holmes in the BBC's Sherlock. It's not very hard.
This is a true adaptation of Sherlock Holmes in a modern society. It's great. I recommend you watch it if you haven't. Both seasons are on Netflix. Go.
Benedict Cumberbatch is amazing. Martin Freeman plays Watson. He's amazing. Everybody in it is just spectacular.
And for those who don't know,
except Moriarty.
Martin Freeman played Bilbo Baggins in this year's Hobbit. So, just to give you kind of a reference. So, Star Trek. I know one person here is probably giddy up to his asshole one.
My problem with watching Star Trek is being as I am in the middle of the Star Trek universe on TV. I have to rewind my mind in this whole universe 80 years or so to go revisit Kirk, because I'm used to Next Generation, I'm used to Deep Space Nine, that sort of thing. But I am giddy for this movie.
Well, it's not even that you have to rewind. You have to completely forget, because this yes. is a whole new universe.
Which is yeah. actually something I want to ask both of you. Are you excited to see that they're not just keeping it in space, that they're destroying half of the Earth, and that's why they come back? That's the plot line.
Frankly, after the first Star Trek movie, they can literally do anything. Vulcan is gone. There's no planet Vulcan. There's no planet. There's no more Vulcans. That's absurd. Earth, so, half Earth. Why not?
So do you
why
think
not?
That
leave will... the Dominion? Nothing.
So having a Star Trek movie take place on Earth doesn't offend your like root feelings on Star Trek, because it's called Star Trek.
Star Trek is a lot of things. The thing is, you ask a normal person who's not a Trekkie, you ask them, and yes, I'm a Trekkie who admits that there are normal people, that we're not the normals. If you ask a normal person who's not a Trekkie, they might be offended by something like, it's called Star Trek. But if you know Star Trek, it's a hell of a lot more than just a ship flying through space. Deep Space Nine is Star Trek. It is an amazing Star Trek series, and it takes place on a space station. And most of the time, it takes place on planet surfaces. Bajor, or Cardassian planets, or the Klingon homeworld.
What do you think
about the movie?
Well, I guess, alright, here's another question. The trailer seems to hint, at the end of Star Trek, the last movie, and spoiler alert, Kirk kind of becomes the leader that he was always destined to be. That is kind of how they end it. And now, in this one, it seems that they're reverting back to Kirk not being ready for leadership. He's still too cocky. He still takes unnecessary risks. So it almost seems to me like they're negating the end of the last movie, so they have an arc for Kirk in this movie. What do you think?
I have a feeling that there's going to be some build-up on story on why they feel he's not ready, because I feel that this is going to be like maybe a year or two after what took place in the first movie.
Yeah.
Because we have to build up a backstory for Cumberbatch's character. We still have no idea who, in fact, his character is. A lot of people think he's going to be Khan.
I've heard this rumor, and it was told by the actor who plays Bones. He was interviewed, and he made a reference to one of the first three episodes of the original Star Trek series, to a character that was there that had mental mind control, and he ended up destroying half of a planet. That is apparently who Benedict Cumberbatch's character is going to be. So this Khan thing has kind of been shot down by some of the cast members.
Yeah, I checked IMDb earlier today, and I believe they said there was some guy named like Christopher Higgins.
Yeah.
It was either him or Khan, and like IMDb can't figure out who he is.
Well, back to the original thing. You asked if they're doing the Kirk going back to not being ready, but here's the thing. In the original storyline, this is alternate timeline too, for any Trekkies out there. This is considered alternate timeline. That's what
when
it's called.
When the Vulcans came back.
When the Romulan ship, mining ship came back and destroyed Vulcan. And the whole thing. It's a completely new world. Completely new world. Okay, so in the original world, Kirk went through. He was an ensign. He was a lieutenant. He went through the ranks. He went through Starfleet Academy. He had the backing of his daddy. He had no daddy issues, no family issues. He was a consummate captain. And then when he became an old cranky admiral, you know, when he was ready for an admiral, when he became an old cranky captain, then he started taking risks. But he started taking risks because by then his name was James T. fucking Kirk. You know, he actually had the time growing up as nothing. Whereas this James Kirk got basically promoted to captain right off the fucking bat.
Yeah.
He didn't hardly spend any time at the academy. He spent his few years at the academy, but he went late. He got in as an ensign, and within his first real mission, he became a captain. So no, he's not ready. Just because he became the leader that he's destined to be doesn't mean anything. He hasn't had his trial by fire.
Well, with that, I'm going to say that we're all pretty excited for this film, and we can't wait to see it. And when we do, you'll be sure to hear about it here.
Thank you. my bees.
And now this is the segment in which we ask the tough questions, the hard questions, the questions that every discerning human being would want to know. This week's question is, why didn't Hogwarts have physical education classes? Any thoughts?
Well, they did. Defense Against the Dark Arts is their physical education. It has to be. All right, outside of the fifth book, every single Defense Against the Dark Arts class had them get up and actually do something. That is their physical education. In a world where you don't have to do push-ups, you can point a wand at your belly and it goes away. Yeah, Defense Against the Dark Arts has to be their physical education. Also, every student was required to take the class.
I believe that there was actually a physical education class, but like many other classes that they probably had, like how to dispose of unwanted waste, or how to, you know, make your homework disappear, whatever. They had separate classes that just were not talked about.
Like Muggle studies.
Yes. You know, had to learn these things, but they was not expressed in the book or in the movies because it just wasn't interesting.
And I feel that the very concept of physical education is a filthy Muggle concept, and it's brought to us by mudbloods, and I don't want it taught in my wizarding school.
Wow. You know, I really think that is just a very strong stance to take on that one.
Way to go, Malfoy.
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps it up for our very first episode. Yes!
Woo!
Very first episode. We have nothing to plug at this point, so I'm going to plug exactly that. Tune in for our next show, where we have Joss Whedon as a special guest. We're going to be discussing the pros and cons of wearing Axe deodorant. And also, next week, we're going to have a heated debate on the actual healing properties of clown's tears on dolphin cancer. Once again, I'm Robert Williams, and I'm the hater.
I'm Charles Bigham, the gamer.
And I'm Dustin Velasquez, the master of mustachioed magnificence.
And this has been Hater and Gamer, bitches.